there exists a subgroup, the nice guy. A dying breed of chivalrous, romantic, domesticated gentlemen whose qualities are desired by the opposite sex, allegedly. However, they are dismissed and confined in such concepts as the bestie, work husband, and the dreaded friend zone. Jason and Manny are the last of the nice guys.
Thank you for tuning in to another special episode of The Last of the Nice Guys podcast. As we continue to avoid the 100th episode, Joe, I'm Jason. That's Manny. And we're talking about...
I don't know why you're calling him out. He don't care.
He don't care. None of us do not care. He doesn't listen to this. He doesn't see anything. He doesn't give a crap. It's funny. I wish I could understand when and why he fell out of love with his own podcast, because this really is his, or was his, podcast. But, you know, who knows? It is what it is. And he fell out of it pretty quickly. Compared to how long we've been doing this, I didn't realize how soon he dropped. And, you know, we listen to you post the Back in the Day podcast, and they're funny, man. They really are. It's really a shame because they're the three of us. It's good banter. I mean, not to say we're boring, but I don't know, something that he brought a little extra. I don't want to say autism to the podcast, but he definitely brought something else that helped. Anyway, today's topic is a little bit more serious than usual, but we're going to be discussing the difference between disciplining a child and child abuse. Now, this is a topic that's a little triggering for Manny, so I'm going to tread lightly. You know, I don't want to say that he beats children, but he's been known to be stopped. No, but anyway, this is inspired.
I don't beat children, sir.
Only if they don't bring you a sandwich. Only if they don't bring you a sandwich.
Yes, they have to make daddy a sandwich.
They have to make daddy a sandwich. So this
maybe the beating comes afterwards.
This is based on a ABC3 News in Pensacola article, or I should say video, that I saw. I'm not going to put the video on. I'm not going to overlay it, but I'm going to play a little bit of it. It's a little disturbing, so viewer discretion is advised. In a way, it could be disturbing. And we're going to discuss what this actually is versus what it is. And I'm going to read some of the comments, because I was quite shocked by some of the comments from some men and some women. Did you read the comments for this thing? Probably
I did not.
But okay, well, I'm going to read some of those comments, because it was quite disturbing to some degree how you can't see how far this woman took this. But let's go.
It was clandestinely captured by another family member who has given us permission to show it to you. It appears to be attempting to physically discipline her child.
Not attempting.
The sheriff's office now confirms the woman is the mother of the 12-year-old son that is about to be struck with a strap or a belt 22 times, the beating lasting about 15 seconds, and it is difficult to watch.
Okay, so I don't know. We don't need to hear that. Just hear me all the time. So basically, what happens is this mother whoops her son 22 times with a belt. Okay, so she's you know, she's whooping his ass. I'm sure, you know, it doesn't matter what he did. He just did something that deserves a whooping ass. Here's where it gets a little disturbing. She then grabs him by his hair and pulls him up off the couch. He falls to his knees, or gets to his knees, and she picks him up by his hair again and pulls him up to stand with his hair. That's where I draw the line there. That's what really, 22 times, yeah, whatever. But it was when she grabbed his hair. You could see it in the video. You see her pull him up off the couch, because she had him bent over the couch, whipping his ass, by his hair. When she lets go, he kind of like falls to his knees. She grabs a handful of his hair and pulls him up off the floor to stand. And I was like, wow. I don't want to say what he did. I don't know, you know, the kid's story. I don't know what kind of stress she was under, but hot damn, that was too much for physical discipline. So I'm going to read some of the comments from Earth. Yes. Where is that?
It's also to be noted that in the the newscast, it was mentioned that she's also a school teacher.
Oh, sizzle was, snaps. My bad. Yeah, I did not get that was, far.
She was actually
as 44-year-old Randy Morgan County Sheriff's Office, who identify her as 44-year-old Randy Nicole Staples of Grand Bay. But some viewers may recognize her as Mrs. Nicole Staples, a second grade teacher at Cottage Hill Christian Academy. This is her booking picture from Mobile Metro Jail earlier this evening after being charged with felony willful abuse.
People are entitled to discipline their children how they choose, but that went well beyond discipline. It was abuse.
Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch calls the behavior in the video repulsive.
It was.
Yes. I mean, he said it right there. You're absolutely right. Thank you for reminding me. I cut it there. I couldn't keep hearing the kid getting hooked like that. It was giving me trauma. So, yes, she was a school teacher. She's a second grade school teacher whooping his ass. But the district, whatever guy said it very plainly. Yes. Parents are allowed to discipline their child how they see fit to a degree. And she took it too far. So you saw the video. Before I start reading the comments, I'd love to hear. I already said my opinion. You saw this video. Hit me with it, Daddy.
So what it looked like in the video, it doesn't show or say what the kid did to even have that deserving of an ass whooping of that nature. But coming from a tragic childhood, and obviously being a parent myself, there's no reason for, first of all, the ass whooping that she gave him in the first place. Because listen, I've spanked my children. Actually, one of them hasn't been spanked yet. She's getting there. She's getting real close. But I've done it maybe once or twice. But
just I was gonna say I can't see you spanking anybody. But yeah. So for you to say once or twice, I'm like, yeah, that's pretty much zero. Carry on.
Yeah, so
that's what I figured.
It's out of my three children, I've spanked my son maybe twice that I can remember. Because, you know, I black out a lot. And
after he throws the bottle.
Yeah. After I put the bottle down, because, you know, it's been a long
work. That's right.
And demons and stuff. but it was enough. And it wasn't like when the spanking happened, it wasn't like 20 times or whatever. It's like maybe one or two smacks per occasion.
Mm-hmm.
But enough for them to remember, I don't like this.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like, let me not do something to make this happen again. And it wasn't like, you know, I didn't break anybody's legs, you know, mm-hmm. maybe a couple fingers, but
they
were walking the next day, you know, they were walking. Right.
A different time.
But a little limp here and there. But hey, everything was still working and connected.
You walk it off.
You walk it off, put a little grain of salt
on
it.
That's why kids are so soft these days.
Yeah. God, it's a different time. It's horrible. Never to the extent where like they were screaming and crying. I mean,
right.
Obviously they cried,
yeah,
but not for anybody to be concerned. Like, oh my God, like that they're getting whooped next door, you know, whatever.
Right.
What happened in the video was too drastic. It was too much.
It was excessive.
It was overly excessive, you know, to grab them by the hair and drag them around like that. It was too much. I mean, I not knowing what the child did and not knowing what kind of day she had.
Yeah, but you know what? In the end, neither of that.
There's really no.
It's irrelevant because of that. You know, kind of a thing.
It doesn't excuse what transpired.
Yeah. I'm not saying he didn't deserve a spanking. So, I'm just saying maybe you could have stopped that 10.
Not to that extent. Yeah.
You know, maybe you could have stopped at 10.
10 would have been fine.
Maybe you could
two,
have,
three.
You know, maybe you could have not, you know, yanked him around by his scalp. I don't know. I'm just saying. I totally agree. And to bring it up myself, same thing. You can ask my sons, you know, have I ever physically disciplined them? And they'll tell you no. I know I have, like, early on, and I would say the same thing, like Manny, maybe once, twice, maybe three times, but it was never part of my discipline language. Like I would use my words, I'd be stern, and my sons are the most well-adjusted, you know, young men that you know, and I have not needed to spank them at all. I can't say for their time with their mother, you know, or you know, whether she physically disciplined them. I believe she did, to some degree, enough that whatever, it doesn't matter. But you know, and I know I had a problem with her ex-husband physically disciplining my kids. And that's a whole other story. That you know, so to the point where I said, listen, I don't strike my children. You can't do that either. Kind of a thing. It was a hell of a confrontation. In the end, we reached an impasse. But he quickly backpedaled. I don't know why, but he quickly backpedaled when he realized he was probably on precarious legal grounds if I wanted to do something. Unfortunately, the guy I was back then wasn't very confrontational. I wasn't going to, unless like something happened. So.
I was.
The thing is that I picked and choose my battles. So like for what I'm saying, okay, so for example, this you know, why it triggers me is that there was an excessive situation where my oldest was with him and his brother, which is my other son, and his sister. And I think the guy was teaching the youngest child, her fourth child, the baby mama's first child, and his second child, like baseball. And apparently there was some kind of water bottle, right? There was some kind of water bottle. And I guess between the three of them, they drank all the water. That water was supposed to be for them. I don't know what it was. And he confronted my oldest. And my oldest said, listen, it wasn't just me or whatever it was. But in the end, he disciplined my son for whatever reason by grabbing the back of his neck and forcing him down to the ground. Right. And that's the story I was told. Now, how do I know this happened? Because when I picked him up from I think this is junior high school, I believe. When I picked him up from school, right, he had a backpack. And when he was picking up the backpack, he swung it around in such a way and he winced. You know, when you see like pain in somebody's eyes, they winced. And I looked at him and said, yo, what was that? I said, are you OK? He's like, oh, no, my neck, it hurts. You know, it hurts over there. And I looked at him and like, your neck hurts? Why would your neck hurt? He told me the situation. So I examined his neck. His neck also had like little cuts on it, on the side here, right? And I said, that didn't go down right. You know what I'm saying? When I confronted him, the man was like, oh yeah, I grabbed his neck but I forced him to the ground. And the cuts on his neck came from the blades of grass. That's what he said. He said the blades of grass is what cut his neck. That's why there's little scratch marks on his neck. And I remember looking at him saying, whether it was your nails because you forcefully did it with pressure or the blades of grass, what kind of force did you bring my son down to the grass that blades of grass can cut his neck? I said, and if you're telling me, you know, that my son is lying, but you're such a great guy, why did my son have to lie on you? So I said it to him to his face in front of his mother. You know, that's the kind of situations, you know, that whatever. But anyway, so this is what this hits me here is that, and I made it very clear, don't put your hands on my children, because I don't even physically discipline my children. Like, what is wrong with you? And Buddy looked at me dead in my face and said, I'm not married to you. I'm married to her, and I discipline all the kids the same. I said, word? Cool. And I walked away. And I don't know what they discussed, but homeboy called back and retracted everything and whatever, whatever. I know that my kid's mom's mom said, listen, don't touch this man's kids, because how would you feel if another man touched your daughter or your son or whatever it was? I mean, it could have been that. But yeah, they called back a few hours later and retracted the whole, no, it's not going to happen again, blah, 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 because that was excessive. But there was other examples of that excessive physical disciplining, whether it be from both of them, that I was told about before. And so when you see things like this, I don't give a damn what you're going through, what the reason is. It's unnecessary, especially when I don't do it myself. You don't do it yourself. It's crazy. Let me get into these topics.
Comments. Let's see here.
The comments.
I want to let her know that I am from a childhood of abuse, so I definitely know the difference between discipline and abuse.
Well, bring it up before I get into the comments. Tell your story, or as much as you're willing to divulge.
So it was just a fact of, you know, my father worked a lot and never really, which is interestingly enough because he was a cop and he didn't really put too much effort into any investigations or any qualms of what happened at the house. If stepmom said that this happened, that's pretty much what he went with. And if he had a bad day at work, it was a horrible day for us. You know, even though we had straight A's, did all of our chores, cooked, laundry, all that stuff or whatever, you know, it didn't really matter. None of it really affected any of it. And it really drove a huge wedge between my father and I. You know, so when I finally moved to New York, from New York to Florida, you know, it was very easy for me to be like, you know, I don't need you in my life. I never really needed you at this point. You know, you provided the roof over my head and food in my stomach, but that was about it. Mm-hmm. And then, flash forward a bunch of years later, now that I have kids, the only thing that I can say is he taught me how not to be with my own children. You know, they always say, what's the stigma? You come from an abusive child household that, you know, that carries along with you in your parenting. But I guess I broke the cycle because I never wanted my children to grow up the way that I did, questioning whether or not one of their parents who's supposed to unconditionally love you for who you are and you know, for everything that you are or whatever, because you're basically a part of them. You know, I never wanted my kids to question that. And, you know, that's how I grew up. It sucked. So I never wanted my kids to know that. And even after the couple of times that I've spanked my children, well, two of the three, I've come to them afterwards. And I only got three. Thanks. I've approached them afterwards and was like, listen, like, do you understand
why? Yes.
I went the route that I went to.
Absolutely.
You know, the reason why I did this, and you need to understand, you know, what you did wrong. Mm-hmm. And going forward, continuing to do the wrong thing, this is what's gonna be the end result.
You get that ass whooping. Yeah.
Yeah. You're gonna, you know, can be good daddy all the time. I can be fun dad. I can be, you know, your best friend or whatever, but don't put me in a position to be dad, because when I'm gonna be dad, I'm gonna be dad.
Yep.
You know, and you may not like the dad that I'm gonna be at the time. So, you know, understand that's what it is. I never got that growing up. It was always just the ass whoopings and never really an explanation on what happened, why it happened, mm-hmm. who said what, or there was never anything about it. Just
the ass whoopings. So he would just come home and just start beating ass, and you wouldn't know exactly why?
Pretty much.
That most of the time, that's how it was. Scary. That's fear. Like it's funny because I completely forgot that I have something similar, because when you said, you know, when I became a father, I did the exact opposite of my father. That's what you said. And I just clicked on my mind and said, but that's me too. And I brought it up in the past, but that's the reason why I didn't want to have, did you want to have kids with being the father that you had? And, yeah, same thing.
And I don't think it stemmed from the childhood that I had. It's just mainly because the world was a screwed up place, and I didn't want to raise children or younger versions possibly of myself in the fucked up world that we're living in, you know, because you're going through life as it is, and you're hitting walls, you're hitting different experiences that you've never had to experience. At the same time, you're raising a child, which is a whole different experience. Because mm-hmm. as a young father, my son was born right after I graduated high school. So I didn't even experience adulthood yet.
Right.
At the same time, I'm raising a child. So
right.
I was experiencing everything all at once. And for me, I didn't want that.
Well, no, not just being a young father, but did you want children in general? Given the childhood you had, given the experience you had with your father and how you were treated as a child, did you even see yourself procreating? Did you want children?
It was never really a thought process for myself. Mm-hmm. And I never really thought about like, oh, I want to get married and have kids.
Right.
I never really thought of it that way. I guess it was one of those things where like, if I met the right person, maybe, right. but I wasn't like, I got to find somebody now so I can create a family.
No, I only asked because
it was never there for me.
No. Yeah. I never asked because I never wanted kids. I mean, I said this very, very many, many, very many, many, many times on this podcast that I never wanted kids, you know, and I never wanted to be a father. And it stemmed largely because of the my childhood, what I saw. I never wanted to get married either necessarily because I saw what a glued together home looks like. What do I call a glued together home? A dysfunctional home, a broken home is when the parents split. A fractured home is when the parents should have split and they're still together making their children's lives, you know, unbearable or whatever. So I was in a fractured, glued together home, in my opinion. And my, you know, in my, for whatever reason, my dad was just the most miserable guy in the world. And, you know, he was the definition of a dream deferred. And I get it to a degree. Like, as I grow older, I begin to empathize more with what he probably dealt with. However, it doesn't change the fact that, yes, we, you know, we were afraid of him. Yes, you know, he would get mad about nonsense. Yes, he would, you know, if we did anything, if we weren't reading a book, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but if we weren't reading 24/7, he had a problem. Yes, he would whoop our ass with a belt that we used to call the blood belt because it was like a dark maroon. So it kind of looked like dried blood to us. We called it the blood belt. At least I did. And he'd whoop our ass for any number of reasons. Some deserve it, maybe, I guess. And some not. And he would hit us in our upper thighs and our behinds because those areas didn't leave marks. And I'm not saying he necessarily did that. He whooped us to leave marks. But yeah, sometimes we had marks from the belt. We definitely did. And when we were wearing short sleeve shirts, you wouldn't ever see it. Would I call that abuse? Abuse adjacent, I would say, yes. And because of that was my childhood and because of him, you know, used to saying that you're cursed and you're going to live the same life that I lived. I didn't want to have kids because I was afraid of being that guy. I was afraid of becoming my father. You know, unfortunately, I did end up procreating, you know, not only at the wrong time with the wrong woman. And so when I got over myself, and I would say within a few months to a year, and I got over and said, you know what, you got to accept this. You brought these kids into this world. You kind of got no choice. I looked at my father. I looked at my entire childhood, just like you. And I said, thanks, Dad. I'm not doing any of that stuff. So people ask me, Jay, you know, Jay, and it's funny, they've asked me, Jay, you know, you're a really good father. How did you learn how to do this? I honestly said this. I looked at my father and I did the exact opposite. So he wasn't nurturing. I'm nurturing. He was verbally and physically abusive. I wasn't. He wasn't very supportive. I'm hyper supportive. And the only thing that I kept of him was his adherence and his focus on education. You got to get your education. Because I saw what me not getting my education did for me. I did carry that over to a degree. I told these boys, you need to achieve, you need to get those grades, you need your education. That was from him because that's the only thing I could give him because that the fear of not bringing home A's to this man really helped propel me in junior high school and high school and opened up a whole world of opportunities for me before I ended up having kids and my life kind of fell apart, you know, after that. So it's true. My intelligence, my well-learnedness, all the stuff, you know, that came from him, but it came out of fear, not respect, you know? So
yeah,
that's why I asked you.
When I moved down here to my mom, it was a whole different upbringing because it was a lot less volatile. I didn't want to do anything. That fear that I had from my father just for doing wrong, even though that my mother wasn't that person, but just the fear of doing anything wrong could bring that version of my father or my mother out. I was just, I did everything that I was supposed to do regardless. I never did anything wrong. I wasn't a bad child. And I didn't want to lose the freedom that my mother gave me.
Right.
So in that abuse that I got from my father, it gave me discipline on how not to be with my mother. And that is probably the only thing that I carried over and that I'm thankful for when it comes to my father, because it helped mold me on who and how I needed to be.
True.
And then flash forward years later, you know, when I reintroduced my father back into my life, he asked me, he said, you know, what was so bad about your childhood that made you just want to walk away from me? You know, I'm your father. I'm the only father you have, yada, yada, yada. And I said, listen, I don't know if you suffer from like dementia. And these are words that I actually said because I am a smartass and I hold nothing back. I'm very cutthroat. And I said, I don't know if you suffer from dementia at your old age now. I said, but I'm going to tell you the only reason why you are a part of my life at this moment, because if it benefits my children, because I'm old and grown already, there's really nothing beneficial for me. But if it's beneficial for my children to have both of their grandparents or both sets of their grandparents in their lives, you know, then so be it. you know, it's beneficial for them because that's who I live for now. I no longer live for myself and I no longer do things for myself. So I'm not looking to operate within those parameters for myself. So if you being in my life helps or is beneficial for my children in any way, so be it. I said, but don't sit here and act like, you know, you were the best dad in the world and you did all sorts of stuff because, you know, although I've never actually gone to therapy and done all this, you know, healing or whatever with an actual professional, I mean, I've come out of it unstrung. I mean, I'm not a violent person. I'm not an angry person.
Right.
I'm definitely not neither one of those two with my children. You know, I think it benefited me overall because I knew how not to be.
Right.
So I told him to his face, I said, I don't know if you suffer again, if you suffer from amnesia or dementia, whatever the case is, but you were a piece of shit.
Damn.
You know, you came home and regardless of what was said to you, regardless of how great of a day or bad day that you had, you took it out on us, you know, and my sisters were, you know, just as oblivious to it because they weren't living there. They didn't right. live in the house. They came over, they visited. Yeah, they got, you know, a little pow-pow here and there from dad.
You said pow-pow. Daddy,
but it wasn't to, you know, I got to make a cutesy for the girls.
Yeah, right.
But it wasn't to the extent that my brother and I suffered while we were living in the house because mm-hmm. we were there 24/7. You know, God forbid we got home late. God forbid we missed an assignment of some sort. God mm-hmm, forbid mm-hmm. a chore didn't get done. You know, God forbid there was one sock lying in the middle of the floor in the living room. Like, it was just so many fears to have and so many things to be cautioned for. And most of that didn't even matter. You know, everything could have been spotless clean and in perfect condition. And the abuse still occurred. And again, it was verbal and it was physical. And you know, growing up in that nature, it was just like, I don't know how to deal with something like this.
Can I ask, did he admit or does he remember the beatings? Does he remember it? Did he acknowledge that it happened?
The only thing he acknowledged was that he did the very best that he could with what was given to him. And we didn't have it as bad as he did when he was growing up. And I told him, I said, that's a funny story that you keep saying or that you keep bringing up because I had it pretty bad and I've never done any of the things that you've done to me, to any of my children. You know, yeah, you may have had it worse or than, but again, you took out whatever frustrations mm-hmm. you were dealing with on us. And I never did that. I frustration every fucking day when I deal with
exactly,
work
exactly,
whatever.
Exactly.
But I never came home and looked at my kids and was like, oh, I'm going to take it out on you because you're smaller than me. Like, it was never any of that, which was crazy to me.
No, I only asked because, well, no, you can finish and then I'll bring up mine.
Well, that's pretty much the end of it. Just like, yeah. I just never, he never really fully acknowledged or took the blame for what occurred and what happened to the point where I was just like, you know what? I'm not even trying to hash up the past at this point. Like, I'm just looking for right now and to move forward for the sake of my children.
He brought up the question. So, you know, right. that'd be the time.
That's what I'm saying. I wasn't going to sit here and try and go back and forth with him. I was just like, listen, whatever happened, you know, your version of it may differ from mine. I lived it. You did it, whatever. At this point, there's no reason to hash it up anymore. It is what it is. We're here now. Let's just move forward and you know, try to be civil or repatch our relationship, you know, for the sake of each other and for the sake of my children, you know, going forward. Like, let's not keep hashing up the past and argue about what happened, what didn't happen, who remembered what differently, who had dementia, who made up the stories. None of that. Like, let's just
move forward and keep it going from there. I guess, and I respect that to a degree. But you know, you brought it up, then you brought it up, kind of a thing. But it's funny you say that because I only say that because it came up with me and my brother one of the last time my father was down here visiting in Florida, and we brought up or somehow it brought up the physical discipline, and then even my brother brought it up again in maybe last year, and he. honestly says he's never did that. Christopher, my brother, says that he honestly believes that my father believes he never beat us. He said it never happened. And we're like, what do you mean it never happened? You spanked the shit out of us for no reason most times that we could discern at our age consistently for years. What do you mean? But he honestly said, I never hit you guys like that. It never happened. And so we don't know if it's like you said, dementia, or if it's guilt, or if it's like he literally blocked it out. But he honestly doesn't remember or doesn't acknowledge that he did smack the shit out of us with a belt when we were younger. He doesn't acknowledge it at all. And so it's funny that you brought that up, or he had asked, because, and you had said, do you have dementia? You know, he has not acknowledged that whatsoever. And so, not that it informs anything, but that's the reason why I don't hate the man, at least not anymore, but I don't communicate with him on any kind of regular basis whatsoever. I don't see the point of it. I don't need to communicate with him. I never really did. And it's a sticking point that he has that I never called him, that whenever he calls me, he's got a 50-50 chance of me answering. Like, I'll answer the phone. I literally have to be doing absolutely nothing to answer his phone call. You know what I'm saying? And again, I don't hate the man. I have nothing to say. Let's say it like that. I have nothing to say. So, but yeah, I get what you're saying.
My, because my relationship with him ended years ago. I want to say, or I'm sorry, my attempt at rekindling the relationship that I had with him ended years ago, because I saw that there, not only was there no,
what,
there was no, accountability? There was no benefit. Okay. There was no benefit to him being around me or my children.
Right.
There was no accountability for any of the stupid stuff that he continued to do in his adult life, in his twilight years, or whatever you want to call it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And
at least, like, my father softened. Instance, my father softened with grandchildren. He really did. He softened. Like,
well, he softened, but the issue was he was trying to be somebody he shouldn't have tried to be. Real quick version of the story. The strike one for me was my baby sister. She's not a baby, but she's my youngest sister, and not from my father whatsoever. My father's never met her, never seen her, has nothing to do with her whatsoever. And during my oldest daughter's first birthday, he approached my younger sister with some information that was already out, or whatever, it's something to do with her biological father and whatever nonsense, family shit. And again, not his place, because he has no relations to my sister. He's never met her. You know, there's nothing there. So my mom told me that basically she didn't tell me at the party because she knew how I would react to it. So she told me about a week later, and I was like, well, thank you for not telling me, because I would have whooped his ass right in the middle of everybody at the party if that was told me right then and there. I was lost my shit. But then once I confronted him about it, he's like, well, what did you want me to do? I'm a father. And I saw a situation of another father who was, you know, begging for his life and this and that, whatever. He wanted to reach out to his child. And as a father, I felt like I needed to step up. And I told him, I said, I understand where you think that justifies everything. However, this is your granddaughter's first birthday party. This is also in the lieu of you and I rekindling our relationship. What you should have done is you should have approached your son and asked him, hey, listen, I have some information that I need to give to your sister, not my daughter, you know, not my one of my other daughters, your sister. How do you feel about it? You know, you didn't even approach me. You bypassed me completely and went straight to my sister and gave her the information. And again, that's not your place. You should have never done anything about it. Oh, well, I'm going to stick to my bullshit reasonings. This is what I wanted. This is what I felt. I felt this strongly. I said, all right, cool. Strike one. I'm going to let you know that right now. Strike one. Because again, I'm an adult at this point.
Yeah.
I don't need you in my life.
Yeah.
There's nothing for me and you. If I lose you, I've already been without you for so long. It's not a big deal for me. It's a very indifferent feeling. That was strike one, you know, and then there was two other strikes that occurred within the next couple of years that ultimately I was just like, all right, I'm done. You know, as much as I can control my children being in his life, I'm going to control it. If they want to become adults and rekindle their relationship with him in the future, that's on them. I
Oh,
said, but
yeah.
as long as I can control it, I want no part of it. I want no, nothing to do with it. Not to mention that every time before I decided to cut it off, it was like a guilt trip on, oh, hey, I haven't heard from you so long. You don't call your dad anymore, or you know, you
Yep.
can't. Look who's calling me now. Look who's alive. Look who's this. Look who's that. Sir, you're the parent. I'm your child. I'm dealing with your grandchildren, which you've never really even bothered to find out how they're doing. So your sole concern is, oh, now you want to pay attention to your father? No, that guilt trip is not going to work for me. You want to find out how your grandchildren are? You want to find out how your son is? Pick up the damn phone. You're the one that's retired. You can call and have the spare extra time to make contact with us. I'm the one working. I'm the one trying to make sure that my children are good and everything's going good and whatever the case is. You're the one living on your retirement plan. You know, I don't understand what the problem, how that works.
Right.
So, again, all those details help me decipher how not to be when it comes to my
Right.
children or whatever.
How to
So
define what your version of
that,
discipline versus abuse. Yeah.
right.
Yeah, it
And
makes
I didn't,
sense.
again, that whole victimized, that's a whole nother form of abuse that I did not want any part of either.
Yeah.
So I was good. I was good.
Well, but it's hard to, I mean, it's hard to break in, because if they being accountable and self-aware, if they don't even have that, they're not going to hear the message. They're not at all. You
No.
know, that's why I never intend having a conversation with my father about our childhood, because it doesn't mean anything. I don't need closure. I don't need understanding. I don't need to get his side, because I know the side. I just like you, as a father, actually, my entire time being a father was just a shit show, internally. It was. It was all smiles, pictures, and fun. And I'll be real, my sons don't know the struggle. They know now as I'm talking to them. For example, there's this thing that I cook. It's called meat rice. It's just basically ground beef, white rice. I put some peppers in it, and it's like a called dirty rice or Mexican rice, whatever you call it. That came about during 2012, the worst year of my life. Okay, that was like child support and thousands of dollars going to court to battle it back. I was financially ruined at that time, because I was just, the money was being taken. They took my tax return,
Paychecks.
like my tax return, like it was coming to my
Oh.
paycheck. I was struggling, to the point where I told my mother, listen, I want to give up. I just want to move back home. I want to quit my job. I want to move back home. This is too hard. Sometimes the lights were off because I just couldn't afford it. Sometimes the cell phone was off. At one point, I had no cell phone for a while because it was just money I didn't have, Bless my son's heart. They just thought it was fun. Oh, yay. Because I shielded them from it, because no matter what, she still dropped them off to me every week, knowing that I'm struggling. Fine, whatever. But the dish was made because at one point I didn't have any food in the house. I had white rice and I had ground beef. That's all I had in the house. And I said, oh, shit. All right, well, let me just like season the ground beef, make the rice, mix it together, and just tell them it's a new dish. And they loved it. They absolutely loved it. And to this day, they consider that to be a staple of their childhood. I made it for my youngest son last week, and he's like, my God, I love meat rice. And I said, I hate making this dish, right? This dish reminds me of the worst year I
Brings
ever
the
had.
bring it triggers you,
It
yeah.
triggers me. But to them, meat rice is a staple. Both my sons love meat rice, and I hate it. I hate the meal. I hate the recipe. I hate everything because it reminds me of that year, 2012. But that's my point. That was the worst year of my parenting life. Let's be real. The worst year of parenting life. My sons weren't struck. They weren't bullied. They weren't. They weren't. I never gave them any grief. They were shielded from it, so much so that one of their biggest childhood memories is from that year, the worst year. That's why it doesn't matter, because I know I hated my job just like my father hated his job. I hated my job. I worked in healthcare for 18 years. I hated it for 10 of those years. I never brought that home. My sons never
Right.
knew. I mean, they knew I hated my job, but they knew it as a joke. My sons
They didn't feel it.
They didn't feel it, but they'd say, "Hey, Dad, how's your day? I hate my job." Ha 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 ha. We all laughed about it. We move on. It became an actual joke when we got home. They would ask me just so I could say it, so we could all laugh together. That's how I approach being miserable as a parent. So nothing that he says to me would ever justify why he brought that misery home, why he brought that fear into the house. My sons don't fear me. My sons, they respect me, but they definitely don't fear me. And never will. So that's why, just like you said, there's no point in getting into it. But let's jump into the comments. Oh my God, that keeps playing. All right, good. So one comment is, parents should never discipline their child when they're angry. The heat of the moment is what will put you. The heat of the moment is what will put you as a parent in a situation that will be hard to fix or take back. You can always take 10, 20 minutes away from whatever happened. You can literally pause the time and think about how to correct the discipline. And I agree. To take a moment, take a breath, especially if you feel it inside of you. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Just take a step back and be like, all right, let me wait. You know, absolutely. Absolutely.
That can be done in any version, not just for discipline, for conversations and arguments.
Yeah.
That can be used in anything.
There are some comments that drove me nuts, but okay, like here, boy, I got hit so hard one time, I held my breath for 30 seconds. Shit, I think I ran away. That's one. Every parent year 2000 and earlier should be considered dual personality felons if this is the case. So this is what they're trying to say. Every parent in early 2000 and before, what they're saying is that this lady getting charged, right, for abuse, then every parent from 2000 back should be charged for abuse. And I disagree. I disagree. That was clearly excessive. I'm not saying spare the rod at all. Some kids need to get their shit slapped. They do. I'm being real. There's some kids.
They need to know what their place is.
Yeah. They need to get rocked. I'm sorry. I've seen some kids. Oh my God. I've seen some kids, especially now, because I, for lack of a better word, am co-parenting with my best friend, her son, right? I've been there from the beginning. Like, that's it. Like, there's no way around it. And I go to parent-teacher conferences. I go to events. Sometimes I go on my own with him when she can't go. And when I see some of the kids' behaviors, especially some of his classmates, I'm like, yo, your parents need to rock your shit. What are you doing? And the parents are there, Maddie. The parents are there watching their kids act out or act a fool. And they're kind of just standing there, you know, or trying or doing the soft love. And I'm just like, yo, don't you have any shame? That's embarrassing. That behavior is ridiculous. This is what there I see. I know you see it.
There was one time I consider my jobs lifetimes because I've been with them for so long. There was my last lifetime before this one. We were chasing after some teenage kids on bikes, just doing stupid shit, just trying to get them like, hey, listen, don't do that here, because if you get hurt, it's going to be an issue, whatever, yada, yada, yada. The kids were being explanatory. They were, you know, giving us the fingers, telling us to fuck off and all whatever. And we finally caught up with them. And I grabbed one of the kids, you know, the bicycle chair, and I lifted it up enough so he's pedaling, but the wheel's spinning. It's not touching the ground. And he turns around and swings at me. And I was like, wow. And I picked him up by his throat, put him down on the floor. And my boy that was with me was like, don't fucking kill him. Don't do it. Don't kill him. Don't kill him. Don't kill him. And I was just like, no. I'm not going to hurt him. I said, but this is one of those teachable moments like, oh, shit. Let me not swing at somebody who's clearly can kill me.
Yeah.
Now my life is in his hands now.
Yep.
So I looked at him and I was just like, I need you to remember something right now. This is the moment. If you're going to swing on somebody, make sure that you, one, not only just connect, but two, you can back up your shit. Because literally you swung and then your life was over. If I was crazy, I could kill you right now. I was like, yes. You can feel, right? Your life is in my hands. You can feel my grip. I'm not going to hurt you. But this is one of those teachable moments. Don't turn around and be a young dumbass. You know, I got a son just your age. And he
is not with us.
Than to do some stupid. He's with us, just, you know.
Okay. I have a son your age, and he's no longer with us. I wonder why. Let me stop.
His grave is right over there. Would you like to go see it? No.
That's crazy. On his headstone, it says, fuck around, find out.
I was the originator of that.
That's right.
But it's just like some of these kids, man, like they just need to get rocked. So they just remember,
they do.
Like, hey,
they do. You know,
I can't, I shouldn't be acting this way, man. Cause somebody somewhere is crazy enough to put their hands on me.
Yeah.
Like, I shouldn't do it.
Absolutely. Another comment. My mama would be under the jail. LOL. As an adult, I appreciate those whippings because they made me who I am today. Now I believe never whoop out of anger, walk away, come back, to the disciplining. I feel for her, and her parenting definitely isn't easy. So it's a little both. She feels for the lady who's literally in jail for whooping the kid's ass, but she also appreciates the whippings. And I agree to I mean, I don't agree. I don't think that the whoopings, you know, made me a better person. Maybe it did. Maybe it was the whoopings made me very timid, and that's why when it came to confrontations, I was shy from confrontations, and why it led to certain things because, you know, other consequences. I'm just throwing that out there, maybe. But in this case, I get it, because the whoopings can be, you know, because kids have a point where they all have their phases where they like to habitual line steppers, like to step over that line, and they want to see what they can get away with, kind of a thing. And this is when you're just like, okay, well, I warned you. Didn't I warn you? So
see, yeah, I think the ass whoopings helped me pick and choose my battles, because I remember one time I got smacked by my father once, and then I turned around and smacked him back. And that made me realize, like, one, I'm about to die. And two, sometimes you can just dull the pain and move forward, but you don't always have to use your hands.
Yep, I agree. Here's another one. This ain't nothing. I got whooped so bad one time, I fell down the stairs and played dead. Oh, please. I
thought about just for it to stop.
Just for it to stop.
That didn't stop anybody on my nails.
I thought about running away every time, but grew up in a great home, had everything. My mom just wasn't for no games. I don't know, man. You said I grew up in a great home, but you got whooped so bad you fell down the steps and pretended to be dead. I mean, maybe you're dramatizing it, but then to say, but I grew up in a great home. Don't get me wrong. I wouldn't say I wanted for nothing when I grew up. I was fed. I was clothed. I was housed. I was nurtured. You know, I was cultivated.
Yeah, what's your idealistic of a great home?
Correct. You know, where's
your ass whoopings handed to you because you deserve them?
Right. But even if you did deserve them, you know, let's be reasonable. But some things just aren't necessary, you know, or for both our opinions, to have to grow up in fear of our fathers. That's regardless of what they did for us. And we say for us, I'm going to throw this out there. You know, this is an unpopular opinion, but a parent isn't doing anything for their child. They're doing it because of their child. They have no choice. You do know that, right? I mean, you can choose to hear your children or not, but your children don't owe you shit. We don't owe you anything. My sons don't owe me anything because I brought them into this world. How can I then say be grateful for what I've done for you? You know, when I know for a fact that they didn't come to me in no spiritual dream saying, "Dad, I'd like to exist. Please go get it in with mom." None of my sons asked to be here. So you sit here and you say that a child has to be grateful. It's gonna make noise again. I knew it. Every time my phone goes dead, but to sit there, I guess I can't find, when I first got onto this thing, there was a whole bunch of comments that were saying, this is an abuse, that what is she going to jail for? You know, this is just disciplining. It's like basically saying that, you know, we're in a bad place if you can go to jail for disciplining your child. And I had made a comment to somebody when they said, this is an abuse. This is discipline. And she said, how is this abuse? And I had to comment, and I said, she pulled the child up off the couch by his hair and then off the ground by his hair. What do you mean, how is this abuse? Like, that's how angry I was, because yes, you can whoop your child. 22 times is excessive. That would have been a gray area. But when you started yanking his hair, I'm talking about off the couch, he gets to the ground, and then up off the floor to make him stand up. Bro, come on now. You know, but, you know, that's what I'm saying, is that, and I honestly believe this, no parent should ever look at a child and tell them they need to be grateful. I'm sorry. I don't know how you feel about this, Manny, as a parent.
No, I agree.
But I can't. I can't tell you to be grateful for what I've done for you. I brought you here. It's my responsibility. I'm supposed to do this, you know, and you don't owe me a darn thing. You know, you really don't. Yeah, there'll be rules that we discipline. I'm not saying you should, you know, give them everything that they want because you didn't bring them here, but you do the best that you can. But in no way, no how should a child ever be grateful to a parent for existing. We didn't ask to be here. We didn't. We did not. And I'm telling you right now, if we were self-aware to know what this world was like, we probably would not willingly want to be here in this world. I'm being
Hell
real.
no.
So,
Hell no.
you know, I'm just keeping it real. And it's that this is not something I learned in my 40s. I used to say this when I was in my teens, in junior high school. Not that I was nihilistic or emo, but I would say, listen, I didn't want to be here. I didn't want to, like, I'm forced to go to school. I'm forced to get grades. I'm forced to come home. I didn't ask for this life. I didn't ask to be here. And this life can be beautiful, but it is full of struggle. So why is it that I am supposed to be saying thank you for clothing me, thank you for giving me education? No, you should be doing these things. Anything above the bare minimum, thank you. You get me a toy. You make sure you whatever. Sure, maybe gratitude for the bare minimum. Gratitude for you being a parent and providing and not beating the shit out of me. I think that's par for the course. And I look at that and I tell my sons that too. I said, I know you guys didn't want to be here. I'm doing the best that I can, and I'm trying to be as supportive as I can. As long as you're not literally doing something that's hurtful, harmful, or illegal, I'll be as supportive because you didn't ask to be here. You don't owe me anything, nothing at all. But we have some rules and we have some arrangements. So, for example,
Correct.
I told them, don't worry about what I want you to do as an adult. Do whatever you want to do as an adult. But if you want to continue to be with me and get my support, these are my expectations. So, for example, I said, I'll give them 10 years of financial support up to 29, as long as they both get at least their 2-year degree. Once you earn your 2-year degree, you get 10 years unlimited to do whatever you want, to figure yourself out, figure your career out, but you have to get that. Stuff like that. You know what I'm trying to say? But you're not required to. It's a deal. I said, if I'm going to be there and do for you, you know, and do this and allow you the freedom to explore the world and figure out where do you want to be and find the right opportunity so you're not struggling or miserable, then you got to throw me a bone. Get your 2-year degree. All right. Final thoughts, you know, with between discipline and abuse. All you, Manny.
You got to learn how to draw a line, and you got to learn how to do this without full emotion involved, because the emotion that changes you as a person. And it makes you do things that you normally wouldn't do. So, especially women, I'm sorry to say, you guys are emotional creatures. Everything you do out of emotion is not always the right thing to do. And as men, we don't process our emotions and feelings in the right manner because we were never really taught. It's always a good idea to step away from situations when emotions are involved so that you can collect yourself and maybe have better things to say or do rather than act aggressively or too aggressively
Right.
in this situation. Because 9 out of 10 times, this is emotional trauma. I mean, look at all the studies about emotional trauma from childhood. This is one of those things that stem from them. So if you don't want to permanently scar your children by doing something like this, it's a best practice to come at it with a level head and a cool attitude rather than anything
I agree.
else. Show
I
you're
agree.
angry and disappointed, but you don't need to be physical with it.
You don't need to be physical with it to excess. If you like I said,
Yeah, excessively physical, I
because
should have said,
I
yeah.
because yeah because I don't you know because I honestly I'm telling you right now I honestly believe that a whooping, even if once or twice in their life, it's necessary. It's just what it is. It's part of it. If the child warrants it, there is, it's because I believe in consequences. I've said it many times. I believe in consequences, and that could be a consequence. And sometimes this gentle parenting, that's why this gentle parenting has made kids so soft and so abrasive and so, but at the same time, so sensitive
It's
to certain things.
disgusting.
It really is. It is. A gentle parenting is just not, it's not it. But at the same time, you don't take it to excess. You don't go overboard with it. And I fully, and she did. This lady absolutely did. She absolutely should have gone to jail for this. And you know, this is gonna, she's a teacher. It's gonna, she nobody's gonna let her teach. She has lost her teaching license, guaranteed. It's not going to happen for her, you know. And it's a shame, you know. We're living in the age when everybody has a cell phone, and you will be snitched on by your own kids if they feel that you were excessive. And that was excessive. And that was what it was. One of their kids recorded it and sent it to an aunt, and the aunt turned it in. And that's what it was. That's what happened. So, all right. Well, that's it for the last of the Nice Guys podcast. I am Jason. That is Manny, and we thank you for your time.
Last. best of the nice guys. Follow, like, and subscribe on Twitter and Instagram at Last Nice Guys, Facebook.com/Last Nice Guys, or email lastofthenice guys@yahoo.com.
This is an audio production of Vibe Revelation Studios, the cure for your common day. VibeRevStudios.com.